So tonight I'm going to do a teaching, when the manna runs out, and it will be with Dad had a great YouTube song he recently played. Okay. Okay, we got everybody?
Alright.
Just got a little chain here. But I forgot what the YouTube song, what was the name of that song that you played yesterday?
Made for This.
Made for This. And it was an incredible song on YouTube. He played it. But it was a pep talk. And at the end of listening to this song, you know, when we received Christ as our Lord and our Savior, we chose to make Him our Lord and we received salvation. Everything changed. What is the purpose of your life? And in finances, with investments, I got to sit down with this wholesaler, and he said something that has changed everything with investing. And there's always things that is implied, but by focusing and using some words, it made things so simple. He said, "What's the purpose of this money? Is this money? Is it to last a lifetime? Is it to retire? Is it to give it?" What it would actually do is it would force the clients to decide, "What do you want to do with it? Do you want it to last the rest of your life?" Yeah, well, then you can't spend 50%. And then they go, "I'll 5% or 4% with this." What is the purpose of this? And all of us should be asking ourselves, what is the purpose of my life? You were made for this. You have a calling. Every one of us has a purpose. And He designed us. Not a random thing. Not just this thing, well, I guess that's all you got. I guess I can work with that. Well, there is some truth to that too. But what is the purpose of your life? What is your purpose? What is it that stirs you up, the gifting? And it's through that peace that he's going to start going, we can do this. And when we get peaceful and we get in the Word, and it can be either like church services or 3 or 4 days when we go to conventions, that I'd be so filled. Now I'm ready to go conquer the land. But we got to go back and say, we don't know when Christ is coming back, but what is the purpose of our life? And this teaching is when the manna runs out. And a lot of times in our life, when the manna runs out, it feels like it's the end of the world. What do you mean I'm not getting any more paychecks? What do you mean my pension's out? What do you mean you want me to move? And a lot of times it's going to feel like a crisis situation. And to the natural man, it might be. And they have to live in fear. And they got to be these squirrels burrowing nuts and knowing where these things are. And they got to do this every day. But when we took Christ as our Lord and our Savior, said, "I want to follow you. I want you to be my master." We chose that this life, we're just passing through this thing. And He will assume all responsibility. And then what is the purpose of our life? And Joshua chapter 5, that's actually Yahushua, but chapter 5 of Joshua, 2:38. So each one of us, if we could, you were made for this. You were born for this. Look at it and go, what? And all of us, you know, even when I was little, all of us know, because Christ is inside us witnessing, going, you know what you're supposed to be doing. And a lot of times, one of the things that held me back is I was so fearful of what I was going to lose. And then I read about people in the Word, and I'm going, what a bunch of idiots. Look what you're going to be gaining. And then I look back at myself like, oh yeah, okay. Yeah, she's in my life, when he asked me to let go of some things, I'm like, okay. And not to pick on any of us, all of us are a work in progress, but when it comes down to, what is he asking us to let go? Get down on our knees and say, "Help me. Something's got a hold of me. I'm trying to let go of it." And you know what? I think a lot of times with some of those deliverances in our own life, whether it's a vice or maybe it's fear, maybe it's a relationship, that sometimes I think that breakthrough, he's just waiting for us to fall down on our knees and going, "Help me with my unbelief." Mark 9:23. "Lord, you can do anything you want. Heal my son." He goes, all things are possible to him who has faith. He puts a finger right in the dad's, "Me? You mean me? Help me with my unbelief. Help me with my lack of faith." And Christ goes, "Good." But if that father would have just kept his mouth shut, nothing would have happened to his son. And so think in our lives, just go, "Help me with this. Help me." In Joshua chapter 5, let's see, right above the note, right above verse 2, and a lot of the teaching, this whole teaching, you can get a free, the world's most accurate Bible. You can download a free PDF off the teleosministries.com. It's called the Rotherham. And then the two best world study Bibles with E.W. Bolger's Companion, you can download that. And then the Paragraph Bible. Download all three of these things. And you can read something like this, and you can read the most accurate translation. And then you get down to reading 3 or 4 verses, and you just go take a look at these notes what these great people did. The things that is different between Rotherham, the parallel, E.W. Bulmer for the most part, and Young's, those translators, you know, there's a saying that says, somebody who loves you tells you what you need to hear. Somebody who wants something from you tells you what you want to hear. Today's translators tell you what you want to hear. They don't want to tell people the truth. They want to validate what people are already believing. But these translators are trying, for the most part, to say this is what Yahweh actually wrote. But here, right the note right above verse chapter 5, verse 2. Cable, what's that say right above verse 2?
Is the people are circumcised and keep the Passover, the manna ceases.
So the manna stops. So where were these people for 40 years? In the desert. Is there water in the desert?
No.
Is there food in the desert?
No.
Can you grow corn?
No.
Wheat? No. What are you going to eat? And so what Yahweh did is, which goes back to Matthew 6, 9 through 13. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, Yahweh. Thy reign come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Not tomorrow's bread. Not a pension. Not a 401k. Where I don't need your help anymore. And that's what Yahweh wants each day. Just one day at a time, man. And so here it is, each day for 40 years, they had all their meal were given by manna. There's a whole generation living by faith, right? And what would happen if they wandered away from the pillar of cloud? I think about how many Hebrews growing up during this time period. Look, in the desert, the only way you can survive in this desert, if you're obedient and you're with Yahweh. You understand that, right? Yeah. How many Hebrews would have had to test that? You know, sometimes kids just got to test. They said, no, why am I not supposed to do this? Kids do that. I don't know if you guys know that. Maybe you don't. Don't touch this button. Which button? This one? Are they gone? How many Hebrews would have wandered away from the cloud, and I would have been one of them, but then a day later I would have came home and my white skin would have been blistered and I would have been dehydrated from the brink of death and all the Hebrews, where'd you go? Oh, I went out in the desert to see what was out there. It's the desert, you dummy. If you're not with Yahweh, you're not going to make it. Or if you didn't have the pillar of fire day, you would have frozen to death. But all of us do that. And Yahweh calls us into a thing where it's not going to work without Him. But here are the Hebrews. In verse 10, if somebody would read chapter 5, verse 10 through chapter 6, verse 1, please.
Thus were the sons of Israel encamped in Gilgal and kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month in the evening, in the waste plains of Jericho, and they did eat of the corn of the land on the morrow of the Passover, unleavened cakes and parched ears of corn on the selfsame day. And the manna ceased on the morrow when they had eaten of the corn of the land, neither had the sons of Israel manna any more. So they did eat of the yield of the land of Canaan throughout that year. It came to pass while Joshua, or Yahushua, was at Jericho, that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, a man standing over him with a sword drawn in his hand. So Yahushua went unto him and said to him, for us art thou, or for our adversaries? And he said, nay, but I, as prince of the host of Yahweh, have now come. So Yahushua fell on his face to the earth and worshipped and said unto him, what is my Lord speaking unto his servant? Then said the prince of the host of Yahweh unto Yahushua, slip off thy sandals from thy feet, for as for the place whereon thou art standing, holy it is. And Yahushua did so. Now Jericho was shut up and barred because of the sons of Israel. None came out and none went in.
Okay. Verse 2 was neat. Then said, what's the next word?
Yahweh.
So he's talking to the prince of the host. And when it says Yahweh, Elohim of hosts, what does that mean? Elohim of hosts, God of hosts.
Armies.
When somebody's a prince of hosts, what is he a prince of?
Armies.
And so you say of armies. And so a lot of time when Yahweh has a representative, even with Gideon, there's a messenger, then it says, then said Yahweh. right there. So Yahweh's speaking through it, not through the Holy Spirit. And Yahweh said, then said Yahweh unto Yehoshua, see, I have delivered into the hand Jericho and her king and the mighty men of valor. Okay, so you know, kind of flip back the page, and this is where most of the teaching, almost all the teaching, is going to be. A bunch of really neat things have just happened, right? Just in that small group of verses we just read. 40 years they had manna. Did they have unleavened bread? They had manna. And so E.W. Bollinger's notes, here's something in the parallel after. Here's what their notes were going to point out. What's actually, we just read. We didn't read a whole lot, right? Verse 10, E.W. Bollinger goes, this is just the second Passover recorded in the 10 Passovers. Okay? You want to take a look at that. So how many Passovers between here and then Moses' Passover? This is right here. It's the only second one that's ever... E.W. Bollinger goes, this is the Passover was kept. When? After they're circumcised. When the men were circumcised, well, we know that when Dinah was raped, Israel's daughter, the sons, in order to kill her raper and the guy that wanted to marry her, he said, we can't let you marry unless everybody gets circumcised. Why did they do that?
Weak.
So they could kill him. And so when a grown man gets circumcised, you're not moving for, you can't go to war, you can't fight. Yahweh waits until they cross the Red Sea to get circumcised. Not a good time to do that. So you know, John Sheen has one that pointed that out. You do that before you cross it. Then you get healed up before you go to war. You don't get on the airplane, airdrop into North Korea, and hey, everybody, come over here. We're going to give you an appendectomy. No. Wait a minute. Appendectomy is going to wait. What did he do? All of a sudden, get circumcised now. Why weren't they circumcised? And there's a lot of neat notes what's going on here. Because as far as we know, the generation that died in the wilderness was circumcised, as far as we know. It didn't specifically say that. But these people, it would appear that they volunteered for circumcision after the other generation was gone. Here's like the new covenant. It says in Romans 4 that Yahweh, he wants to circumcise, not Romans 4, but in Romans, he wants a circumcision of the heart. Are you with me? Here they get circumcised. They're on the other side of the Jordan. Okay? And then in verse 11, a neat thing also, this is the annotated Bible says. Verse 11. This is the first feast of unleavened bread. They could not have celebrated the feast of unleavened bread during the 40 years. The annotated Bibles are saying they're going to go, they had manna. This is the first unleavened bread that they've had since Moses. Huh. It sounds a lot like Moses in Exodus 3, doesn't it? Starting all over again. Then also, when the manna ceased no more, Caden was reading this last week and I read that. What would that mean? Maybe a day later they'd get up, hey, no manna. How many of these Israelites were probably still thinking about going back? I could still swim across that Jordan. It's harvest time. But when that thing goes down a little bit, I'm taking me and my little one, I'm getting the heck out of here. This doesn't work out, right? Do you guys have backup plans? I do. Can you go into the wilderness when there's no food? No. And the manna would have been a sign. You can't go back. And how many times in our own lives when a door closes or we get fired from a job or the writing's on the wall that you're losing something, that it feels like the end of the world? What was going on inside of Israel? Boom. A reckoning. Boom. Who are you going to choose? Boom. Are you with me? Your parents failed. Now it's your turn. The difference about the Joshua generation is as they've been producing faith for 40 years. They're used to it. But now here it is. The manna is no more. You'll look at this. E.W. Bollinger points out also, this is exactly 40 years from Exodus 12, verse 41. Hmm. What is that? You go back to Exodus 12, verse 41, and it says, and Yahweh's... hosts left Israel. Yahweh had armies all around the place. What's going on here? You get to read this after the Exodus. This is an Exodus. A different kind of Exodus,
yeah,
though.
Yeah.
An Exodus into civilization. But was it scary for them to be leaving this to go into civilization? Absolutely. Going to go, oh my goodness, there's a whole other Passover. Here this whole thing is. You start reading this and you go, Yahweh and what He's doing with the Joshua. Now, can you compare the Joshua generation to their parents? No. Night and day. Wicked, evil, adulterous, wicked, evil, except for Caleb, Yehoshua, and Moses, right? And then probably Miriam. She was always in Yahweh's best life. Can't compare the two. But was Yahweh satisfied with the Joshua generation? A lot of times when we raise ourselves up as believers and we compare ourselves with other people, go, hey, I speak in tongues, I interpret, I prophesy, I'm not ashamed of Yahweh's name. Huh. I'm feeling pretty good. Then Yahweh looks at us and he goes, I'm not done yet. I'm not satisfied. You can imagine a husband and wife in a marriage and things are going good. We've been married 15 years, right? Hey, 44 years. And then somebody goes, okay, we're going to hook you guys both up to the lie detector. Are you completely satisfied? No, man, there's some stuff I want to work on. And we got to imagine, what does Yahweh compare us to? Adam, the first and second Adam, the original intention. What does he want? And he's not satisfied, but man, he is not satisfied, but he is satisfaction. There is no satisfaction like Yahweh. And there's no way to the Father except through Jesus Christ. And here's the Joshua generation. If you saw the generations die and you compared yourself to the last generation, would you be feeling pretty good? Yeah. But what does Yahweh do? He strands them. Huh. Hey, look at this. They go, no retreat. Oh, great. Can't go back over to Jordan. Now the men are circumcised. How vulnerable will the women with the kids be? Oh boy, be praying for Uncle Tim and Uncle Izzy and Aaron to get healed. Oh, we got to go to war and Chuck to get healed. The women feel vulnerable. Kid probably didn't know any better. What are we doing here? Then they go out, they eat some of the food. It's probably, as far as I know, disgusting. Izzy and I, when we went to Kenya and stuff, man, the food was so different. My dad and I got to meet a French Albanian recently. And he's sitting there with all these Yankees. And sitting around, I said, when you got here, was the food really weird? His face went... He's just French Albanian. And he was like, actually, today I had something called pulled pork. He goes, yeah. Like, this guy was a Muslim. What is this corn? Corn just means seeds. What is it? What is this that they were eating? It's probably gross to them. As far as I know, what are they used to? I want the same thing my mom's been cooking for 15 years. All my mom's recipes. Those are attention, Israel. Throw away your recipe books. Manna is gone. A whole nother life. Does that make you comfortable? No more menus. No more chicken fingers, Kaven. Something different. Oh, here we go. Here's the whole thing. Then we start. Let's compare Yehoshua and the Joshua generation with Moses. Both of them. Compare the food and the resources stop. With Yehoshua and his calling, what happened? The food stopped. The resources, can they go back into the wilderness? They could possibly still cross the Jordan. I guarantee you, I would have been thinking it too. I could still cross that. Yeah, we crossed it in the harvest, but then, I know that it's going to be down like this high in about 6 months. That's when you cross it, right? Anybody who thinks analytically is going to be thinking that. But wait a minute, there's not going to be any food there. And there's not any food there. There's not going to be a pillar of fire or cloud. Resources stop. How did the resources stop in Egypt? Egypt was annihilated. It was leveled. The livestock was gone. The plants were gone. The wicked people were destroyed. The armies were wiped out. Is there any way for them to go back? No, they are being forced. I think about how many times we're root bound. And Yahweh goes, I want you to get out of this pot and get in that pot. I don't want to get out of this pot. I like this pot. You can imagine there's just trees bursting out the seams. Sometimes I'm root bound on my belt. And I go, hey, man, I got a muffin top here. What's going on there? Who did this to me? But he's like, I want you to get in a bigger one. And every once in a while, we're going to be root bound. And we're going to, what do you mean I'm root bound? I got this huge tree here. I got an acre yard. You're root bound. I don't like it. And my tree in the front yard, this ash looks big unless you compare it to sequoia. Because you're never going to become a sequoia. I don't really want to become a sequoia. I'm really happy being 60 feet tall because I'm big compared to everybody else. He goes, man, I'm not done with you. I thought you said you work for me now. Lordship means you do what I say. And Yahweh says, I always say what my father tells me to do, and I want you to grow up. And then we go look at the bridge. The bridge was removed. The River Jordan goes back over. And what would require faith for Moses and his generation? To stay in civilization or to go into the wilderness? Okay. The Joshua generation, what would require faith? Staying in the wilderness or going into civilization? Yeah. And what do you think he's asking each one of us to do? And why are we shocked when he tells us, I want you to stop eating manna? Whoa, wait a minute. I want you to go this way. Wait a minute. What do you mean I'm not getting any more paychecks? What do you mean I got to change jobs? What do you mean I'm 100% commission? Or what do you mean? I mean, think about some people that got to leave their whole culture and everything. And God, it looks like it's the end of the world. Man, he's got good. He's a good, good writer. And so we look at Joshua's generation. What was going to require the most faith is going to go into the land of Canaan, and is going to be to start subduing the promises. And what was Yahweh doing? And you got to, you know, all of us. And I'm probably the worst one in here. It's not all about you, Aaron. It's not about you, Aaron. And it's Joshua generation. It's not about you. It's about my friend Abraham. My friend, it's about me and my friend. Here's Yahweh. I keep my promises. I promise that you guys would inherit this land, and here's this other stuff. Here's these promises. Now we are the seed of Abraham. And we're the seed of Abraham. Here's Yahweh's promises to King David, to Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Jesus Christ, Peter, Paul, all these people, and they're all going to get to read our story. They're going to get to see the whole book after it's done. So will we at the resurrection, or when we go to sleep, we'll get to see what happened 1,000 years after us, how Yahweh honored your great, 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 great grandchildren, and he kept his promises. It's not all about you, Aaron. It's not all about you, Joshua generation. It's about these things. You think bigger. Now they're going to go in. And it was neat because Yahweh, when you start reading like in Joshua, they go into certain places and there's not enough room. And Joshua goes up into the hills. There's plenty of... Well, they got chariots of iron up there. Go get it. And requiring faith. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. We'll come back here in just a second. Hebrews 11, chapter 6. That's page 231. So I remember my dad and my mom sharing this to me when I was growing up, which was kind of helped me while I'm at crossroads. What am I going to do? In our old van, and every once in a while, what we're doing is really scary. And I never had to do what Gideon had to do, where hundreds of thousands of people might die. Slavery. You know, you can imagine the United States taking up here all of the state of Kansas and transplanting into Baghdad or North Korea. Everybody might get wiped out. I never had that yet. But still, when we're at these crossroads, you're going to go, heart rate's up, this could be the end of everything. This could be the end of it. This is some serious stuff. Now, I've never had anything like them, but Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. Mom, would you read that?
But apart from faith, it is impossible to be well-pleasing, for he that approacheth unto Yahweh must needs have faith that he is, and that to them who seek him out, a rewarder he becometh.
No, man. What a... I wasn't going to have you read the whole verse, but I'm glad you did. That's perfect. Why do we keep thinking that a life that we're in is Yahweh's happy with it if we're not having to produce more faith? You know? And so we get to a position in our life that things get real comfortable and we're really happy with it, which is natural, and it doesn't mean we're not supposed to do it, but every once in a while we should sit down and go, what's going to require more faith out of me this year? Mm-hmm. Now, we don't do anything dumb. According to the scriptures, and if you're not in the light as Christ is in, Yahweh's in the life, you have sinned, then don't make any big decisions, but purify yourself as the King David, and separate yourself. What's going to require more faith this year? Because if it doesn't require faith, then he's not going to be really happy with it. And then what's the second part of that? A rewarder. Who here likes rewards?
Yeah.
Would you like a reward of what King David would give you? Are you kidding me? Is he a righteous? Gonna love, and here's Yahweh in Jeremiah 9, 23 and 24. He loves righteousness, chesed, justice, and righteousness. And if you do something right, he wants to reward you. And he wants you to produce that faith. He wants you to have that lifestyle so he can reward you. To reward you. And how neat is that? So here in the Joshua generation, what's going to require more faith to go subdue the land? You can sit here and go, man. Now we're going to go back to Joshua chapter 5. So that's the congregation looking at this. Man is out. I lost my job. I'm quitting. Now, Izzy started a new job. That's scary. Dad and I had to do that. Tim's had to do that. I've had the blessing with working with my dad, and he gets to give me these examples. How many times that a closed door is the biggest opening in his life? Where a job starts running, the water starts running out. Dad was talking about that. Here's the prophet. He goes, run! Jezebel's after you again. What, Jezebel? Can't you just smite her? Come on, man. Can't you lightning bolt? Jezebel's coming. Oh, here we go. Jezebel's after me after all the prophets are dead. Go over here. I'm going to have a big buffet, a hometown buffet, but all you can eat. Right over here. No, it wasn't a hometown buffet. Where was he sent to? Where was he sent? A broke widow. She's so broke. They're starving to death. Come on, man. Not a Hampton Inn. No, where am I going to sleep? Here she's starving to death. And what did Yahweh require out of that prophet? How's he going to get fed? The ravens are going to steal food like that. But where are they going to get bread? They're probably stealing from wicked people. Hey, get back here. He took my pita again. Those doggone ravens. They bring it here. Hey, it's a pita again with garlic. Thanks, Father. And here's a prophet being required to be fed twice. And then the brook runs dry. Can you imagine being that prophet? Are you kidding me? Where's the water? Then you're going to sit here and you're like, okay, now he works with us. And he'll talk, but here's the same thing. You're like, okay. But even with the prophet, Yahweh is working. And then, you know what? And then in the prophet, did the prophet know that we were going to get to read about that?
No,
he didn't know. And how much in our own lives that Yahweh is asking us to do unusual things that requires faith because somebody else's life is going to be dependent on it. Your testimony. How many generations, 3 generations down the road in Israel, they're going to hear about your testimony and they're going to get resurrected because they remember what you did and Jesus Christ is going to be inside them and say, remember what that guy Israel did? We just read about Jedediah Smith having his head ripped off by a grizzly bear. His whole face, his ear, all of it was in the... And he's with all these other mountain men in South Dakota, I believe. You have to watch with my dad. And they look at him and they think he's dead. His ear, his whole face has been pulled off by a grizzly. Probably not too sanitary, right? And then he wakes up and he's the only one that knows any kind of medicine. Well, you guys are going to have to sew it back on. Here's the boss. And then I got a needle and some sinew. Okay, get started. And he's teaching them how to sew his head back on. And his ear's down here, and they say, ah! And this video we watch on YouTube, they're watching this thing going, this is the boss. Can you imagine your boss's face back on? Not it. I'll watch. And these other guys are going, oh, then is he going to make it?
Yeah.
You're not going to survive that. I mean, he did though. Yeah. You know, he's a believer, right? Are we feeding off that right now? Yeah. Is Christ inside of us right now going, man, and they said, and I watched 5 minutes of that last night at Mom and Dad's house, and they said that was a turning point in his life. He goes, if I could survive that, I could survive anything. Not that that was Yahweh's will to have that happen, but man, Yahweh can turn lemons into lemonade. West Nile, right? You're brink with death. Yahweh goes, I despise death, but we're going to turn this into a testimony to not only deliver your life, but we're going to use you too to deliver thousands of people. It's like somebody that finally survives a black widow bite or an ass bite or a black mamba bite and they survive. He goes, we have the antidote. Ha! And the adversary in the world just shrinks back. And that's what testimonies are all about. But here's Yehoshua. Here's Yehoshua. His first Passover, as far as we know, that's not what the scripture says, but that's E.W. Bullinger, an antidote, or the annotated Bible. The first feast of unleavened bread. How neat would that have been for Caleb? And Joshua, because they were at the first one.
Yeah.
Do you remember? Do you remember the angel of death? Do you remember hearing the cries? People screaming, people living in tents. They're dead. Dead bodies everywhere. Yeah, I remember it. Here's what happened next. The man is no more. Verse 13. And when it came to pass while Yehoshua was at... What's Yehoshua doing at Jericho? I don't know. He's at Jericho. Did you guys ever notice that? I never noticed that. What happens when he's at Jericho? This is the town that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, a man standing over against him with a sword drawn out in his hand. So Yehoshua went up unto him. Moses was in the wilderness and he saw a thorn bush on fire. So he went up to it. Yehoshua went, the guy had a sword drawn out. He went up to it. And he asked, "Are you for?" Obviously, he said, "For us, art thou or for our adversaries? And he said, nay, but I, as a prince of the armies of Yahweh, have now come. How neat is that? Because in James, it says, we'll go to James here in a second. A lot of times Yahweh has put you across the Jordan. He's told you which direction to go. I need more information. How are we going to do this? Does Joshua know how they're going to do it? No, not necessarily. But what does he do? He goes to the man with the sword. And so Yehoshua fell upon his face to the earth and worshipped him and said unto him, what is my Lord speaking unto his servant? Check this out. Compare this to the thorn bush. Then said the prince of the armies of Yahweh unto Yehoshua, slip off thy sandals from thy feet. Sounds like Moses, doesn't it?
Yeah.
For as for this, the place where thou art standing is holy. Holy it is. And Yehoshua did so. And then that was the beginning of the information how to start conquering and how to start conquering. Just like Moses with the tree. The thorn bushes. It wasn't a burning bush, a burning thorn bush. James chapter 1 to page 234. So in all of our lives, I believe, and then we should be preparing ourselves to say, hey, when my licenses run out, when the United States becomes wicked and I got to leave or something, I need to be prepared. They're not my sufficiency. A pension is not my sufficiency. Social Security, Medicare is not my sufficiency. My IRA is not my sufficiency. My family is not my sufficiency. You are my sufficiency. Be preparing ourselves and preparing ourselves. And then we're at crossroads. Which direction do we go? Which direction do we go? Elijah, which direction do we go? You sit there and you go, I don't know. This is why hunting is so important. I don't know. The deer's out there. How are you going to find this thing? If you humble yourself and fall down. But if we go back to Hebrews 6, we go, okay, I don't know which direction to go. Normally what happens when we have that is panic. Are you peaceful? Not all the time. But we can sit there, I need my peace. And we go, okay, which option requires the most faith? Let's start there.
Yeah.
Instead of the path of least resistance. Okay, what would Yahweh and Christ be glorified the most? Start there, go, killing a giant, cutting his head off, taking it to Bethlehem. Okay, what's the second? It doesn't mean we do it. We start to, just the opposite. James chapter 1. Let's see. Verse 4. But let your endurance have mature work, that ye may be mature and complete, and nothing coming short. But if any one of you is coming short of wisdom, let him be asking of Yahweh, who giveth unto all freely and upbraideth not, and it shall be given. And so in our calling, what are you designed to do? What is the purpose of your life? And you know, what is the purpose of my life? What is this thing? And then to go, okay, I believe the wisdom. He goes, Yahweh wants to give you the information more than you would even want to receive it. Take off your shoes and say, hey, explain this thing to me. And we can have those burning thorn bushes or the prince of the host of Yahweh's armies can sit there. And all of a sudden, what would seem like the end is actually the beginning of the best parts of our life. Remember, Yehoshua, he's going to get to look reflect over his life. Would he have undone any of that? Like, no, not at all. And so we prepare ourselves when the manna runs out. And we go, actually, when the manna runs out, sometimes is the beginning we start getting our inheritance, the best parts of our life.
Yeah.
Up in close, we thank you, Yahweh, in Christ Jesus, for your words. We thank you for each one of us. I thank you for my family and the people, all my family that's here. And I thank you for their hearts. And we thank you for your will being done in our lives and for helping us hear you. We know that if we're not opening your word, it's like we don't even go to your house. It's like we don't even pick up the phone to call you for advice. But we thank you that we can not only hear you by reading your word, but we can FaceTime with you and do these other things through prophecies. So we thank you for these words. Do not be fearful, but be strong and bold. Speak my words to yourself day and night, and you will make yourself prosperous. You will subdue the land. Know that everything on this universe must submit to its designer, the creator. So when you speak my words, my promises in faith, what does not have to bow its knee before Yahweh? Can it be Red Seas? Can it be cancer? And if you are going the direction that I've told you to go, then I am with you. And that is the majority. Amen. Thank you, Father.